The now infamous Tucker Max charity auction debacle. The story occurred September of 2000 and was written September of 2002. Everything I am about to tell you is true. This is the complete and unadulterated story, as I can best remember it, behind my infamous summer with Fenwick & West and the very famous Tucker Max charity auction debacle email. Let's start from the beginning. In May of 2000, my buddy Slingblade and I drove out to Palo Alto to work as summer associates at a law firm called Fenwick & West. It was the summer between our second and third years of law school at Duke. The internet and tech boom was hitting its crescendo, and as we arrived in Silicon Valley, the NASDAQ was set to pass 5,000. You remember those days? Almost immediately upon arrival, I realized that I hated being a lawyer. My mental picture of what being a lawyer entailed did not include spending countless hours every day sitting in a lifeless office, surrounded by boring people, doing idiotic and ultimately meaningless paperwork. Unfortunately, that is all a corporate lawyer does. When you're a lawyer, your job is to clean up the messes of others, to rubber stamp and make legal someone else's real work, to essentially be a paper custodian for the people who actually do important things. The people at Yahoo and Cisco and Network Solutions, all our clients, actually did something. What did I do? Stupid, mindless, and utterly irrelevant bullshit. I was a junior paper monkey, no less, and I hated every second of it. Honestly, I wish I could say it was the firm. I wish I could blame the people or the place. But that was not the case. I hated the very nature of the job. Being a lawyer just sucks. When I am bored or unhappy, my behavior becomes akin to a crack-addled ADD monkey until I find something to occupy me. The law firm and the work bored me. So what did I do? Did I endure the boredom and soldier on? Or better yet, did I find a productive output for my creativity like I did with my website in law school? No. I got drunk and acted like an asshole. Virtually every day, and especially at firm events where liquor was free. If being a lawyer was not interesting, I was going to make it that way, goddammit. The first Friday I was there, the firm had an all-day orientation for incoming summer associates. The night before, I got my roommate and myself into the South Market magazine opening party in San Francisco, where I got completely shit-faced and went home with one of the models at the party. Well, at least she told me she was a model, but who really knows. When I woke up at 6 a.m. the next morning, in her house in Oakland, I realized that I had not carefully thought out the ramifications of this act. My firm is far from Oakland, and I had to be at work at 9 a.m. for the start of summer associate orientation. First things first, I rooted around in her purse, noting the large supply of condoms, and found her driver's license so when I woke her up, I'd know her name. It was one of those nights. She said she'd give me a ride, but she can't take me to my place because it was in Mountain View, which is even further away from Oakland than Palo Alto, and she had to be somewhere at 10. That meant I had to wear the same clothes I wore out last night to work Friday. Not really a big deal, except there was liquor, vomit, piss, and probably other fluids all over them. Liquor is understandable, but vomit and piss? On the way to her house Thursday night, we had stopped at Jack in the Box. Don't ask me how she could eat that crap and still have such a good body. She wasn't a plus-size model, so I guess she was bulimic. Sitting in the drive-thru, the inhuman amounts of liquor I had consumed caught up to me, so I calmly got out of the car, walked behind a bush, and proceeded to vomit and piss at the same time. It is hard enough to keep from vomiting on yourself when you're drunk. Try doing it while you're also pissing. Whatever. I just put it in a breath mint and hid the urine stains until they dried, and she still hooked up with me. Isn't alcohol great? I show up at orientation, stumbling drunk, eyes still bloodshot, smelling like a speakeasy. I somehow made it through without incident until after lunch, when they partnered us up with another summer associate and had us tell each other all kinds of things about ourselves, and then recite to everyone else in the room what we learned. I didn't know what to say to the guy who was my partner, so I told him I was out all night and I couldn't see anything because my contacts had fallen out when I was hooking up with some random girl. He stood up and told this to everyone. I thought it was pretty funny. The hiring partner did not. Whatever. If you can't take a joke, fuck him. The next week, the hiring partner, John Steele, came down to the office that I shared with three other summers and started shooting the shit with us. All of a sudden, he started talking about the information.com greedy associate boards and how he couldn't believe that the Fenwick summer salary info got up there so fast and how that thing has really changed the way that firms do things. Let me digress here for an important and revealing subplot. During the spring, Fenwick announced that they were going to pay summer associates only $2,100 per week, which was below the $2,400 that most big firms in New York, LA, and Chicago were paying their summers. Yet, right before we arrived in Palo Alto, Fenwick, along with every other Silicon Valley firm, announced that they were going to pay summers $2,400 per week, commensurate with the big firms in other major cities. What does this have to do with anything? Well, I was almost single-handedly responsible for Fenwick and basically every other Silicon Valley firm raising their summer associate salary from $2,100 to $2,400. How's that possible, you ask? The beauty of the internet and the influence of an amazing website called information.com. Information.com is a job-related website that has message boards on it where anyone can anonymously post anything. The message boards are divided by region.